Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to the CBS Evening News ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home, the place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Tonight, terror in a Texas high school as a student opens fire, leading to a manhunt and a city on edge. The latest on the condition of the victims, including a 25-year-old English teacher and the bullet that narrowly missed his heart. Tonight, what led to the shooting and what we're learning about the 18-year-old suspect and the .45 caliber gun. New vaccine mandate. Los Angeles becomes the largest city to require you get fully vaccinated before entering bars, gyms, or restaurants. Plus, our new reporting for parents. When will young children be able to get the COVID shot? Inching towards a deal, the news tonight that Congress may be closer to avoiding a debt crisis. We'll hear from an Iraq war veteran who says he's disgusted with Washington playing politics with his disability check. Facebook fires back hours after a whistleblower claims the social media giant is harming our kids and democracy. Tonight, hear how CEO Mark Zuckerberg is responding. No holiday cheer. The toy store owner who says her stock of Hot Wheels and Barbies will sell out before Christmas as shipments are stuck at sea. What's causing the backlog? The dangerous journey for Haitian immigrants heading towards America.
For all the people on that boat, this is the only way to the other side.
And the Box Brigade, what these do-it-yourselfers are doing to fight COVID.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us. We are going to begin with a story of panic and fear that has become all too familiar in this country, shots fired inside a school, this time in North Texas. And it started with a fight, then gunshots. Four people were hurt, including one student who was critically wounded, and the gunman fled the scene. Students and teachers took cover. Police descended on the high school in a massive show of force, searching room by room to make sure the threat had passed. And as word spread, anxious parents gathered as close to the school as they could get to wait for news. The students were later evacuated by bus. Hours later, the suspect, who's 18 years old, turned himself in. And tonight, he faces multiple charges. CBS's Maria Villarreal is going to lead us off tonight from Arlington, Texas, with new reporting. Good evening, Maria.
Good evening, Nora. One of the victims was a teacher. His sister posting on social media this afternoon that the bullet that hit him barely missed his aorta. He has broken ribs and a collapsed lung, but he is expected to pull through.
Chaos at Timberview High School after calls came in this morning of an active shooter. Heavily armed SWAT teams rushed to the scene and entered the building looking for the suspect who had fled. Arlington police say 18-year-old Timothy Simpkins was involved in a fight with another student. At some point during the fight, he drew a weapon and started shooting.
Just based on the information, I know there were more than two or three shots that were fired.
The shooting left four people hurt, three of them hospitalized. One, English teacher Calvin Pettit, was rushed into surgery. Panicked students and staff barricaded doors with their desks and hid inside their classrooms. Dale Topham was teaching close by.
So my mindset was, if somebody gets through that barricade, which they won't, but if they do, if they want to hurt one of these students, they're going to have to take me out first.
You can see the fear in this conversation between a student and her mother, saying, "Mom, there's a shooting. Please, I'm scared." So far this year, there have been 21 school shootings, 80 since 2018. Last year, during the COVID-19 pandemic, when most kids were doing remote learning, there were 10. After a short manhunt, Simpkins turned himself in with his attorney this afternoon. The weapon allegedly used in the shooting found 2 miles from the school.
There is video of that original fight that is circulating on social media, and it has been shared with police. But students are saying right now that the kid that is getting beat up in that video is actually the suspect. He is now facing several charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Nora.
Maria Villarreal, thank you. Well, in a visit to Chicago on Thursday, President Biden will talk about the impact that COVID vaccine mandates are having. With new cases, hospitalizations, and deaths all slowing in recent weeks, the administration is also underscoring the need for rapid at-home COVID tests. We get more on this from CBS's Omar Villafranca.
While COVID cases and hospitalizations decline nationwide, the demand for at-home tests is surging. But today, a company that manufactures some of these test kits, Illume, recalled nearly 200,000 due to concerns over false positives. The kits were widely available to consumers and also provided to the U.S. Department of Defense.
Every American, no matter their income level or zip code, can access accurate, convenient, and affordable testing.
This comes as the White House announced today it's investing an additional $1 billion in at-home test kits, quadrupling the amount currently available on store shelves. The Los Angeles City Council today announced one of the strictest vaccination requirements in the country. As of early November, customers must show proof of full vaccination to participate in many indoor activities.
Yeah, I know we're in a different time right now, so it's like we have to do what we have to do right now.
Kids still make up more than a quarter of new cases. In Florida, where the governor attempted to bar school districts from requiring masks, some parents of children with special needs are suing.
We're at around a 10% community transmission right now, and that's just too high for us.
Judy Hayes says it's too dangerous for her 10-year-old son, Will, who has Down syndrome, to attend school in person.
There you go.
The lawsuit contends an executive order signed by Governor Ron DeSantis in July violated the Americans with Disabilities Act.
It's been an uphill battle. He's 10 years old. It has been an uphill battle his entire life. So this is just the latest battle in the war, I think.
We reached out to the school district, but they won't comment on pending litigation. An FDA advisory committee is scheduled to meet on October 26 to discuss vaccines for kids between the ages of 5 and 11, which means we may see those shots roll out around Halloween or early November. A spokesperson for the American Academy of Pediatrics says those shots could roll out at pharmacies, vaccination clinics, and hospitals, which includes pediatric offices. Nora?
Well, certainly before Thanksgiving. All right, Omar Villafranca, thank you. Well, tonight, as America inches closer to a catastrophic default, there is news about a possible deal in the Senate, and it can't come soon enough. The Treasury Department warns it is running out of ways to pay the nation's debts in 12 days, and inaction from Congress could be disastrous. CBS's Nancy Cordes reports.
With Washington hurtling toward insolvency, Republican leader Mitch McConnell offered a surprise concession. He said his party would let Democrats raise the debt ceiling short term for about 2 months.
Why should we accept any part of a BS offer?
McConnell's new offer came as President Biden poured on the pressure.
It's about paying for what we owe.
Enlisting major banking CEOs to help sound the alarm.
We are starting to experience elevated volatility in the markets.
But the cascading effects in the ensuing weeks could go anywhere from a recession to a complete catastrophe for the global economy. And I don't know why anyone would take a chance like that.
Defaulting could also disrupt Social Security payments for nearly 50 million seniors and military benefits for 2.5 million veterans.
Why?
Louis Franklin served 2 tours in Iraq.
There's no reason for it other than it's a giant chess game that the Senate and the House play, and we're the ones who pay the price. It sucks.
Republicans say they don't want default. They're just trying to highlight the Democrats' multi-trillion-dollar plans for new social programs.
I'd kind of like to know how much money they intend to spend. And they don't want to say that, because I think when they do, the American people are going to be the first ones to object to it.
Tonight, Democrats appear to be leaning towards accepting this GOP deal and raising the debt ceiling temporarily. If they do, then the nation will be able to pay its bills for now. But we'd likely be watching this exact same fight play out a month from now, Nora.
Nancy Cordes at the White House. Thank you. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is hitting back after that scathing testimony from former employee Frances Haugen Tuesday. In a note to staff, not publicly, the company founder wrote that Haugen was painted a picture, a false picture, he said, adding it's difficult to read the allegations about how Instagram impacts young people. Now, as Congress weighs how to regulate the social media giant, CBS's Chris Van Cleve tonight has a look at potential solutions.
I was comparing it to myself.
Teens like Jada Bromberg are at the heart of the debate over Facebook. She started using their Instagram app at 13. Without realizing it was happening, she says the app was contributing to feelings of depression.
But looking back at it now, I can realize how social media definitely kind of put some of that in my head.
While Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says its research about the impact on teens is being mischaracterized, calls for change are getting louder.
What I want to see is action in this place.
Congress is weighing how to regulate social media. Whistleblower Frances Haugen Tuesday.
We can afford nothing less than full transparency.
We shouldn't have to wait for the whistleblowers to whistle before we understand what is actually happening on these platforms.
Nate Persley runs the Stanford Cyber Policy Center and has proposed legislation to require social media platforms to give researchers access to how they operate.
One of the interesting things about Frances Haugen's testimony is that it offered a rare window into the inner workings of Facebook and what's actually going on the platform. And until we get greater transparency from the companies, we can't legislate in any responsible way.
Facebook says it supports additional federal oversight. Do they really support more regulation?
I think they do. I think that Facebook is at a position right now where they want somebody else to solve their problems.
Nora, Congress is looking at a host of options, and that includes placing limits on political advertising and marketing directed at kids. In the longer term, there's talk of allowing social media companies to be sued over content their systems amplify. But Nora, Congress has been talking about regulating social media for years, and they're yet to do it.
And Congress seems to have trouble doing a lot of things lately. All right, Chris Van Cleve, thank you. Well, tonight, there are growing concerns we could see empty store shelves this holiday season. A lot of shipments remain stuck at sea because of supply chain issues. So who's to blame? And what's being done to fix it? CBS's Carter Evans went looking for answers.
Normally you have more Barbies?
Yes, normally the whole thing is Barbies.
Holiday sales are high stakes for the Game Chest toy store.
So do you think Hot Wheels are going to sell out this year?
They're absolutely going to sell out.
If you want a train for Christmas?
Buy it now.
Store owner Miriam Alhamami says almost all of her toys are already out on the floor. She started ordering for the holidays in March.
So what happens when the stuff on your shelves here sells out?
I don't have anything to replace it with.
New orders likely won't arrive by Christmas. That's because goods made overseas are spending a record amount of time in transit. Cargo ships are crowding ports from New York to Los Angeles, where 250,000 containers are currently floating off the coast, according to L.A. Port Director Gene Soroka.
These stacks of containers seem to be growing.
There's no room to put this cargo. Our docks are full. People need to come and pick up their cargo. Only half the truck drivers registered to do business here visit us at least once a week. We need more drivers on the job.
Trucker George Anaya says the port needs to move faster.
You had an appointment at 7 p.m. to pick up a load.
Yes, I didn't get out of there until about 2 a.m.
Before this year, how many loads a week could you pick up?
About 20 or so.
And how many now?
About six.
The Port of L.A. does not operate around the clock like ports in other parts of the world.
President Biden has said he'd like to see the ports operating 24 hours. Why isn't that happening?
You've got so many nodes of the supply chain that have to get on the same schedule. If we can get the warehouses to open around the clock, that would be important to us.
40% of Alhamami's business depends on holiday shopping.
It's tough as a consumer because I also am going to celebrate Christmas. And it's tough as a business owner.
It's gotten so bad that some large retailers are going to extremes just to avoid the logjam here in Los Angeles. Companies like Walmart have chartered entire ships to deliver goods to less congested ports. Of course, that adds tremendous costs that small businesses just can't afford. Nora?
Yeah, hurting small businesses. Carter Evans, thank you. Well, tonight we're learning more about that ISIS suicide bomber behind the deadly attack at the Kabul airport. CBS News has confirmed that the terrorist had been freed from an Afghan prison just days earlier by the Taliban. He was among thousands set free as the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan. 13 U.S. service members were killed and 18 wounded in the attack. More than 7,000 Haitian migrants who entered the U.S. in recent weeks have now been expelled. But that is not stopping many who are risking their lives to travel thousands of miles from South America to the U.S. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez met some of them on the Colombia-Panama border, where hope and hell collide.
The scores of migrants who have set up camp along the Caribbean town of Necoclí are among the estimated 16,000 waiting in Colombia to head north. Lionel Nelson fled disaster-stricken Haiti years ago to settle in South America, where jobs, he says, have dried up. He cannot take his wife and infant daughter back to Haiti, he says.
We have nothing. Nothing in Haiti. No work.
Their goal is to reach the U.S.
Deportation. Es un temor grande. It's a big fear for you.
As they finally get seats on the ferry, we followed along to the other side of this bay, the next step in the trek north.
For all the people on that boat, this is the only way to the other side, a two-hour journey across the bay to Acandí.
So the boats just arrived on the other side, and these are all part of the smuggling operation, taking them from this boat to dry land.
Nelson and his family turned themselves over to a band of smugglers after negotiating passage along the only land route into Central America. They are taken on dirt bikes, an hour ride through the countryside.
¿Cómo está la niña?
How's the child?
Your girl, how is she? Okay. She looks a little scared a little bit. Miedo un poquito. Sí.
To a smuggler's camp on the edge of the jungle.
This is it. From here on out, it's all by foot, and it's all through the jungle.
To reach Panama, migrants risk robbery, rape, and death crossing the Darien Gap, a lawless 60-mile stretch of jungle considered one of the most dangerous in the world. At the camp, this smuggler told us roughly 600 people a day pass through, some dehydrated, hungry, and sick.
They'd rather die trying to get to the United States than be deported to Haiti. Prefieren morir llegando a los Estados Unidos que regresar a Haiti.
Sí.
Nelson and his family leave first thing in the morning.
Motivación, you're motivated.
Corazón,
it's all heart.
We're still waiting to hear whether they made it out of the jungle. Manuel Bojorquez, CBS News, Necoclí, Colombia.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Tonight, the Coast Guard says some of the crude oil that spilled from a pipeline in Southern California is breaking up naturally in the surf. More than 125,000 gallons leaked into the Pacific last weekend. The state is sending 1,500 workers to clean up tar balls and oil along the coast. All right, tonight, the search for Brian Laundrie is again focused on that nature preserve in Florida, where it's believed he was last seen. Laundrie is wanted for questioning in the death of his fiancée, Gabby Petito. His parents now say they last saw him on September 13th, a day earlier than initially reported. And Laundrie's sister says he went home alone for a few days shortly after that run-in with police in Utah. It's often said that necessity is the mother of invention, and that's never been more true than during the pandemic. Here's CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
An army of do-it-yourselfers at UC San Diego is thinking inside the box.
These are the instructions.
Building 250 homemade air purifiers for classrooms and labs around campus as an added layer of protection against COVID. Four air filters make up the sides. As air flows in, an electric fan on top draws out the purified air.
the virus, if it's there, will get trapped in the filter material.
Professor Kim Prather says the box filters at least 90% of the particles that can carry the virus. And the Box Brigade is growing.
The filters make four walls.
From 9-year-old Kaylin in Hawaii to robots on the East Coast.
20 by 20 by 2 MERV 13 filters.
Jim Rosenthal, who helped design the box, knows a thing or two about air filters. His company makes them.
Are you getting, forgive me, fan mail?
My fan mail is basically all the people who have adopted this project as their own.
Just put that down to cover that.
This one was the Letizia family's project.
And just do a big S.
With a custom design.
Beautiful.
Dr. John LaPook, CBS News, White Plains, New York.
Tomorrow, an urgent story about the new threat to hospitals from a ransomware group that is fast, efficient, and it's putting lives at risk. A reminder, if you can't watch us live, don't forget to set your DVR so you can watch us later. That is tonight's edition of the CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell here in our nation's capital. We'll see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.
If you like the CBS Evening News, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.